Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guest this week is Game and Fish Director Terry Steinwein. Today we're going to review 2019 and preview 2020, some of the highlights and challenges. Terry, what was the biggest highlight for 2019?
Right, well, the challenges are never absent out there. I don't care what business in you're in, and we're just the same as everybody else. We have our challenges from year to year, and sometimes we have to look for them, sometimes we don't, but we have to pay attention to the challenges, but we like to look at our successes too, and how can we build on those successes. And certainly one of the many successes we had this year was our private land open enforcement, our PLOTS program. We've been struggling ever since Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP, acreage declined. And the Wildlife Division staff, in particular, Kevin Kading, has done a wonderful job. We're getting close to 800,000 acres. I think it's around 791,000 this year. And he has a goal for 2020 of about 30 to 40,000 more. And I think people look at it that, oh, that's just great stuff. It's walk-in access, but there's also habitat related to it. One of our bigger programs right now is Working Lands, and Kevin and his staff have just done a wonderful job of making sure that the access is there, but also the opportunity to see or harvest something out there. So that was one of them. Fishing was another one. We just had a tremendous fishing year, and it having about 20 lakes winter kill last year, there was a little worried that we weren't going to have that great of fishing in some areas. Of course, that turned around really quickly. Lake Sakakawea was absolutely fantastic this year. A lot of our smaller lakes just bounced back like nobody's business. So I think we have some of the best fishing we've ever had. And again, that's thanks to Greg Power and his crew out there collecting that information, stocking them in the right areas, getting the right regulations in place. So that's some really, really good news out there. And of course, the last thing I'll mention is we're seeing a slow upward climb of deer license numbers, which is great. A lot of people like to go deer gun hunting in North Dakota. And we have anywhere between 35 and 40,000 people that put in for a deer license that don't get one. And that doesn't make us real happy, because we'd like to accommodate as many people as possible. And we are right now. Unfortunately, we'd like to see that number go down a lot further that are unsuccessful in that first lottery.
And our upland game numbers went up a little bit this year, too.
Upland game numbers were up. It was pretty well as predicted. We didn't have a terrible winter last year, 2018 and 19, but it was one of those where the habitat is declining. Everybody thinks, well, CRP, well, it's great nesting habitat. And if you think about it, it's not the same as when that CRP was new and very vibrant, producing a lot of food for the chicks and nesting cover for the hens. It's degraded to some extent. It needs management. It might be grazing, it might be burning, and of course that's not allowed under federal rules. But our upland game season, in particular pheasants, was pretty much as we suspected. There were some very good spots, some average spots, and some not so good spots. And based on the surveys I've seen so far, that's exactly what happened. So one of our goals has always been, be honest with the public. Get the information out there. It may not be the best, but get the information out there.
Deer numbers aren't the only big game numbers that went up. Our moose, elk, and pronghorn numbers also went up.
Right, yeah. We were, I won't say pleasantly surprised, but we were a little bit surprised that pronghorn numbers are up. And again, when we had the winters of 9, 10, 11, that, I won't say devastated, but it really, really hurt our pronghorn population. And they bounced back pretty nicely, western North Dakota. We got a ways to go, but it's providing another great opportunity for sportsmen and women of North Dakota that like to hunt pronghorn. And of course, moose and elk, record number of moose licenses out there, over 400, and over 400 elk licenses also. Now, I'm guessing there are some egg producers out there that are saying, well, that's not such great news. Well, for the hunters in North Dakota, is, and I have to thank North Dakota landowners. They've been tremendous. We've had some great stories of them helping hunters out there, and I'm guessing they want to get some of their moose off the landscape because they're huge animals. They can do some damage out there. So it's been great. We don't see any stop of that moose or elk population expanding. I'm not saying just exploding right now, but It looks right now we're probably going to have more licenses in 2020 again.
Okay, back to fishing, Terry. One of the biggest highlights in 2019 was the number of walleye stocked in our lakes.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Back when I was in fisheries, having 10 million walleye stocked was not even thought of. If we had 2 to 3 million, we thought, oh, we're doing great. And they're not just stocking the inch and a half to 2 inch fingerlings. They're doing some of the grow outs experimentally to see what kind of survival do we get. And they stock them mostly in lakes that are kind of full of bullheads or small perch that can be predators on a really small walleye. And I guess the results are still yet to be seen on that. But again, you're right, that is a highlight, but it's become so commonplace we don't even look at it as a highlight anymore.
Right, right. Well, let's move into some of the challenges from 2019 and that will continue into 2020.
Right. Well, we have some that are probably going to continue for quite a while here. One is chronic wasting disease, CWD. Our goal is to constrain it or maintain it just in the areas they are, because if anybody has been to any of our advisory board meetings or read any of the stuff we put out, once it's on the landscape, it never goes off. So we're just trying to keep it in the areas it's at and keep it minimal. And of course, our management strategy is let's do things that don't enhance the transfer of chronic wasting disease across the herd. That is one. We're working with the federal levels. We're working with some other partners to do some research, because it's one of those diseases that it's not a bacteria. It's not a virus. You don't give them a shot. You don't give them any antibiotics out there that will help the disease. It's purely management. And maybe there is something out there that we don't know of, or and nobody knows of at this point in time, but we have to continue to do research, and we have to do do whatever we can to maintain that herd out there. And of course, the second one, and not the last one, of course, is aquatic nuisance species, or ANS. That's one of those that it's probably going to be a little bit easier to maintain it in the areas it's at. Unfortunately, we have a pretty good infestation in Lake Ashtabula right now. And I know some people have been clamoring for us to mandatory boat check stations. I'm not a big fan of that because, again, it's not a guarantee. It's like CWD. We're trying to reduce the risk, manage the risk out there. So we're doing out there, and there have been some intense enforcement efforts out there. And thanks to the legislature and thanks to Governor Burgum, we received an increase in some license fees and boat registration fees, trying to do exactly what we want to do. And it gave us two additional full-time employees. One is a warden in the eastern part of the state, and his job isn't going to be totally aquatic nuisance species, but it's going to allow us to spread that out across that warden force. And of course, one additional aquatic nuisance species biologist that's going to be stationed at Jamestown. So it's a real, real challenge, because we have a pretty small budget compared to other states across the nation, but I think we're doing pretty well, and we're going to focus on the monitoring. And I guess I would call it, it's certainly a challenge for the future, but it's also a success. Again, we have it in Ashtabula, and of course there's a federal hatchery just downstream of Lake Ashtabula near the Cheyenne River. And our staff sampled every lake that has been stocked for the last 2 years out of that hatchery and have found no aquatic nuisance species. So that, to me, is a positive. That's a highlight. But still, it's an ongoing thing. And of course, the last thing, and challenges are many, we don't have to look for the challenges, is what we call R3. It's recruitment, retention, and reactivation. Even though fishing has been just absolutely fantastic, and for the first time in many years, I was able to sample some of that this year with a rod and reel, and I can attest that it was really good. But we're starting to see some decline in fishing numbers. Not necessarily on the hunting side, but national trend is going down, and ultimately we're probably going to go that way. So we need to figure out some strategies as how do we reverse that trend. We always had the attitude as kind of the field of dreams analogy, build it and they will come. It's built, but they don't seem to be coming. In fact, some of them seem to be leaving, and we need to figure out why.
During the hunting seasons this fall, Terry, a lot of moisture on the landscape. We sent out many messages to hunters to be respectful of the land and roads and section lines and so forth.
Extremely wet fall. I've been around for quite a while. I don't remember ever being this wet. And again, growing up on a farm in central North Dakota, you always had some fall moisture that would delay the harvest a little bit, but never to this extent. We did put a lot of news media out there that that hunters, please stay out of the way of farm equipment. You know, pull off to the side of the road. Don't block an approach. Don't drive on the roads that, you know, rut them up. And I think the vast majority of hunters actually did that. Unfortunately, there are always a few out there that think they can get by with it, and they do. There's nothing illegal about doing, but it's just being courteous and respectful of the landowner and the land out there.
Okay. How's 2020 shaping up?
Well, I guess we don't know yet. You know, winter started. We have a little bit of snow. It's not across the state. It certainly varies, but I think 2020 is shaping up. Fishing-wise, I think it's going to be pretty good, unless we have some dramatic event that really, really goes to hurt that deer herd. I think we can see another increase in the deer herd again. Again, chronic wasting disease to date, and we don't have all the tests in. Looks like we still have them contained to those units. We did find an additional one in West Central North Dakota, but that's the only one so far that we've seen. So I think it's going to be another great season. And outdoors in North Dakota, it's even the worst is better than most.
A lot of great information, Terry. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
To find out more information about chronic wasting disease, aquatic nuisance species, where to fish, hunting seasons, and more, visit the Game and Fish Department's website at gf.nd.gov.
For Game and Fish Director Terry Steinwan and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us for this week's Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.